I literally was like, well, you know, like I've done this and I've done that. No one cares. Basically, everything was irrelevant. It was like meeting new people, networking. I felt like I was 18 again. A couple of times, there was one day when I literally was like, oh, it's a no, it's a no, it's a no. I was like, how many of those can you take in one day? That affected me. I was like, it's not. I have certainly never experienced it like that. So that was a really new experience for me. And I was like, oh, I'm not good enough. I was like, I'm not going to be able to do this. But what became clear to me was just that those things weren't for me.
Hello and welcome to another episode on the Dive Podcast, where each week we interview professional performing artists as we discuss their stories and dive deeper into learning how to navigate the challenges we face as artists. I'm your host, Taylor Scanlon. Welcome to The Dive if you're new here. I'm a musical theatre performer and I've been performing in the industry for over 10 years and I've met some amazing people along the way. So today we have Daniel Aceta joining us and we actually met on Cats the Musical back in 2015, I believe it was, maybe a little bit earlier, but we won't say that. And anyway, we had an amazing discussion talking about things like self-doubt, but also about his amazing, incredible career and journey from when he was training all the way up through doing Wicked, Cats, Hamilton, and now he's made this transition to go over into America. He is there, he's been there for a little while now, and it's a really exciting episode as he has joined the company of Anne Juliet on Broadway. And at the time of recording, literally moments before, we were very excited because he got a message to say that he was going on for the lead role of William Shakespeare in Anne Juliet on Broadway. So, oh my gosh, what an exciting episode we have for you, and let's get into it. Thank you so much, Daniel, for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Of course. And it's crazy you're currently in a dressing room and just being told at the time of filming that you're going on for the lead, which is crazy.
Yes, that's the Broadway craziness here.
Broadway craziness. Well, before we get into a little bit more of the craziness, I'd love to paint a picture, as always, for the artists that are listening in to who's Daniel Aceta before your career that you're having now. What was your training like?
What was my training like? So I primarily started as a dancer. So I think my first dance class was around like 3 years old, because that was seemed to be the trajectory that my parents thought was fit for me, because I was just kind of always bopping along to music and like Barney the Dinosaur on television. And I just kind of, obviously there was something that they saw in me. And so I started dance classes in Sydney at the Glenda Yee School of Dance, which is where I trained from 3 all the way up until I finished high school. And I think I started singing lessons at 7. And throughout that time that I was kind of like going through my childhood years, there was a lot of wonderful opportunities that came my way, like through the dance school, but also I did 7 years of opera as a boy soprano at the opera house in Carmen and Turandot and the Magic Flute. And I mean, I was not a classically trained singer whatsoever as a child, but fell into the world of opera. And I think that kind of provided like a really great base for working as a professional from a young age as a child. And it kind of like ignited something in me that was like, oh, I don't want to do opera, but I think I would love to pursue something in this kind of field of performing arts on stage.
How wonderful. So you've been really doing it since day dot.
Day dot. Maybe that explains the exhaustion.
Well, you definitely don't look exhausted. You look stunning all the way over in America. And so when did you go in, then into full-time training, did you say?
So I did. When I finished high school, I did the diploma at 85 International, which kind of refined all of my skills and collected everything together and kind of allowed me to see what my strengths were, what my weaknesses were, and allowed me to kind of really work on what I needed to be able to present myself as a professional in the industry. And so I had an incredible time there and under the guidance of so many wonderful teachers who were big inspirations to me and still continue to be.
Amazing. And how long were you there for?
Well, that's also an interesting story. So I was there for a year and a half before I booked Wicked. And then I went to Melbourne, rehearsed the show, did this whole season in New Zealand whilst learning my grad routines, and then came back 3 days before my grad showcase and zipped into my grad and graduated with everyone.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
How did that work?
Well, I mean, it worked because I had wonderful friends who were helping me learn, and all the teachers were so supportive. I'm a firm believer in finishing things, and it wouldn't have felt right not graduating from something that was a huge part of my life. So the timing worked out just, and it was the craziest time because I was like literally performing the show in New Zealand. And I was also an onstage swing in Wicked. So I had 9 tracks that I was learning, but also learning my grad routines via video. So it was a crazy time, but I'm so glad that I was able to graduate with my class. And yeah, it was really, really special.
Oh, how good. I definitely believe that. Just finishing things just also feels good. And especially with people that you've trained with for so long, not finishing it feels a bit strange. I remember when we were actually doing Cats together in Sydney, I left the last show, my graduation. They had like a graduation awards night or dinner. And I like left as soon as I could after the night show, get to Melbourne. And I think I arrived at grad and everyone was like on another level, but it was still actually gave that tick of now we're all done.
Oh, absolutely. It's a nice feeling to be like, that part of life happened and it was amazing and you can celebrate it.
For sure. And Wicked went for a long time, didn't it?
Yeah. So I did Wicked for 2 years. I mean, honestly, the time in my eyes, it flew by so quickly because I was so young, so like eager to learn. And I was obsessed with my entire cast. I was the baby of the whole group. And I just watched everyone in awe every night. And there's something so special about that show in particular too. And I think whenever I hear any of that music, like I immediately sob like a baby. There's something really special about it. And I think being my first show as well, it kind of did something completely different to me too. And so it definitely made me into a better performer. That's for sure. Like I learned so much whilst doing that show for 2 years. And yeah, it really did prepare me for whatever was to come next, which was when we met in Cats.
Yay! That's it. Oh my gosh, Cats. I'm trying to remember the first time I met you. I remember the day, you're probably going to be mortified, the day when Joanne Robertson got you to improv in our warm-up. Love that woman. She's just wild.
Oh my gosh. Improv, my favorite word.
Yes, that's it. But no, we got to know each other really, really well. And we had such an awesome time. And like what you were just saying with Wicked, Cats was kind of like that for me. I was just like, yeah, in awe. I was like the baby. I was just loving everything. And that was a really special show to be a part of too.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's so funny. Like Cats was never really like a show that was on my radar at all. I feel like maybe there was a lot of like dance kids who kind of like saw the show maybe passing through earlier in the years. But for me, it never really was. And it kind of took me a bit by surprise. And obviously for multiple reasons, including my husband, it's such a special moment, I think, in my life. But Cats, it's such a show that bonds a lot of people. And like, I really felt that with our cast. Like, we had such a beautiful time. And you have to be. We're all crawling around on the floor in Lycra. Well,
if you're going to be in people's face, you may as well do it. You know, from that experience, you went on to do awesome other shows as well. And now you're over in America, which is just wild. What's that experience been like in that transition? Because I know it just doesn't happen overnight. It takes a long time and a lot of sacrifice and commitment. Yeah, what has that experience been like for you?
Okay. I started this process to move here and petition for a green card back in 2016. I was inspired by a friend who did a similar process. And I knew it was going to be hard and I knew that it was going to be expensive. But New York is a place that I have always wanted to live. And so I was like, well, you don't know unless you try, right? Yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, there's going to be challenges, but I'm going to hope that it's worth it. And so I began this journey so long ago, and there were bumps along the road, and obviously COVID happened, which was a huge thing about, well, the industry's not running here. Lots of things to think about, to consider. And then obviously I had some amazing other shows come along in Australia, which made me delay things a little bit because I was like, being a part of the original company of Hamilton in Australia was one of the most incredible experiences. And I was like, well, I'm not going to go yet. So there was a lot of negotiating with like time, but it finally happened in November of 2022 after all of those years of reference letters and printing all of this. Yeah. Literally, I had five folders worth of stuff. Like everything has to be on paper, reviews, clippings. It was like a full-time job, like to prepare this portfolio. But I mean, yes. And moving here has been such an eye-opening experience. There are being a part of an industry that you know so much about, but it's like so many things are so different. And it really, really shook me when I got here because I was like, I'm ready. Let's go. Let's go. And then I was like, wait a minute. Don't understand that. That's unusual. Aha, that's how auditions work. Last year alone, I had 50 auditions. I haven't even done that many in my entire life. Like,
it's crazy over there, right?
Yeah, self-tapes. The process itself is just so different. And the industry itself is very different. I mean, that goes without saying. It definitely is just like one of those things that it's like, well, America and Broadway, and they've got regional theaters. There's so much going on all the time here. Off Broadway, there's pockets of, there's workshops, there's readings, like there's all these things that are happening in every corner of the city. But there are so many people who also are incredibly talented. Like when I tell you the amount of incredible people that I have met over the last year, I've been just like, wow, to be able to survive and to keep the drive and motivation going in a city like this, in amongst so many people, is insane. It's insane. It has lit a fire in me last year because I literally was like, well, you know, like I've done this and I've done that. No one cares. Basically, everything was irrelevant. It was like meeting new people, networking. I felt like I was 18 again. And I was very lucky to have a wonderful agent, which is a blessing here because it is really difficult and not everyone has agents. And so because of that, I was able to get into some incredible rooms and there were lots of no's. I mean, I just said I went for 50 auditions. Did I do 50 jobs last year? Absolutely not. I doubted myself a lot along the way. I was like, well, I've come all this way from Australia to make these dreams happen. And I was like, but they might take longer than I think. And so I had to be prepared for that. There was a lot of defeat, a lot of moments where I was like, why did I move? It definitely happened. But I kept going and I was like, well, the right thing will be for me when it will appear. I am a firm believer in what is meant for you won't pass you. And so I just kept working hard. I was taking classes. I'm seeing a really wonderful vocal coach. Like, the training hasn't stopped. If anything, it's accelerated. And so that to me is something that like maybe I would have got complacent in Australia into a career of doing everything that, you know, I have so far.
Yeah.
But here I was just like, I got to compete.
I got to step up your game.
Yeah.
So that's inspiring. And it's almost like you've found, I mean, you've always had the love and the passion for the arts, but going there surrounded by literally all those people and the iconicness of it all, how inspiring to just get you into gear. And it even makes me feel inspired. I'm like, oh, I need to go do something today. And you mentioned briefly on some of the moments, the periods that we have are not always highlights and the big the amazing things we love to do and love to share. Hey listeners, if you're interested in yoga, Pilates, or even becoming a yoga teacher, I highly recommend you come and check out the Australian Yoga Academy. It's located in the heart of Chapel Street in Melbourne, with daily yoga and Pilates classes, as well as yoga teacher training to get you prepared to step onto the other side of the mat. Whether you're here to be a teacher or not, you can come to the Australian Yoga Academy and find something for you. They also house Reiki, osteo, and physiotherapy, and they're really just revolutionizing the way that we look at our bodies and also connect together as a community. Whether you're a beginner or a daily yogi, the Australian Yoga Academy has something for you. The Dive Podcast is also filmed here and houses our sound therapy sessions each and every Monday. To receive up to 28 days of unlimited yoga and Pilates, go onto their website, www.australianyogaacademy.com, today to check out their generous intro offers for yourself. Now, that's enough from me. Let's get back to the episode.
But I'd love to discuss even a little bit about how you kind of got yourself kind of out of the funk when you did get the rejection or you did have that self-doubt. Was there anything you specifically do or any guidance you would give to people that maybe are having those moments, maybe even listening right now, to kind of help them move forward?
It's so tricky because I feel like every circumstance of that feeling of defeat or self-doubt is different depending on what has happened. It's different depending on what the audition is or how much the job means to you. There are so many elements in play, and I think I always allow myself to really feel it, especially if it really meant a lot to you. I think like dismissing it straight away is kind of the wrong move. But I mean, when it happens over 40 times, especially when it's like a couple of times, there was one day when I literally was like, oh, it's a no, it's a no, it's a no. I was like, how many of those can you take in one day? That affected me. I was like, it's not, I have certainly never experienced it like that. So that was a really new experience for me. And I was like, oh, I'm not good enough. I was like, I'm not going to be able to do this. But what became clear to me was just that those things weren't for me. And I had to kind of just put my faith in that and be like, okay, I'm going to use that to motivate me. There were so many wonderful things that happened in that room that I'm really proud of, and I gave a great audition. So if I'm not right for this job, then that's okay. It'll be someone else's job. And I always try to stay positive, but we all know how difficult that can be sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, that perseverance has obviously got you to where you are today. And I love that we were just talking a little bit before and you're in the dressing room now in Aunt Juliet. I love that show. I watched it, I think I was here in Melbourne. And it's such a fun show. And what's that experience been like for you? I remember seeing the photo. If people are watching the YouTube, I could put up the photo that you're in front of the poster, and kind of a big dream moment is happening for you right now. What's that been like?
When I got the call from my agent, I basically just collapsed to the floor on 8th Avenue. I mean, to be told by someone on the phone, you're going to be on Broadway. We throw that word around a lot, I think, back home, like Broadway jazz, and we're doing Broadway musicals, and like the genre of listening to Broadway shows and cast recordings. To actually then be like associating that word with the reason why you basically wanted to move here is then a completely different scenario, because all of a sudden it hits you and you go, wait a minute, that's literally what I've been waiting to hear my entire life. And then when it happens, of course I fell to the floor.
You say yes and you run.
Literally. Yeah. It really was just such a magical moment. And then everything was in full acceleration mode from then, because I've never joined a company before that's already running. And so literally by the end of the next week, I already met the whole cast. I'm in costume fittings. I actually learned Shakespeare first as part of my process. By my second week, I was already taking the full show as Shakespeare on stage with the cast. And I didn't even know who these people were, basically.
What do you mean?
Oh, it's the craziest thing. And then I learned my track. in the show, which I play Henry. And then a month later, I'm on stage, like, I know both my principal track, which I've already teched, and my own track. And so then you're just kind of like looking out, like on my first night, I think I was expecting to feel this guttural, like, cry moment. But I actually just stood there in the bows. I can't really even explain it. I honestly was just so happy. I kind of felt like it happened and I was able to soak up that moment for what it was, rather than being like, oh my God, I did it, like crying, but more just kind of like, wow, I'm so happy that this happened.
Just taking it all in.
Yeah, yeah, it really was just really magical. And then I made my principal debut 2 weeks after that. And that night, I cried a lot.
Good.
Mostly in disbelief. I was kind of watching videos back, just being like, is that me? Did I just do that?
Well, I guess you waited like so long to do that thing. And now the thing's happening. So you put like years upon years of all this planning and hoping and creating that we kind of sometimes never not, we always like waiting for the next thing and getting to that next moment. But when the moment happens, it's like nothing can prepare you for it.
No, it really can't. And so I feel like only now am I really feeling settled. So I don't even know what time, day, who knows where we are. I'm in a different room. Like now the ball is rolling and I've gotten into a schedule and a rhythm, which I love. We all love that. But since I started rehearsals at the beginning of this year through to about now, like I really haven't come up for air because there's just been one thing after the next. And then we were on the Drew Barrymore show and that was happening while I was making my Shakespeare debut. And then my other principal understudy, I was learning as well. Like this, just like it just all happened so quickly. And so I had to just like really pinch myself and also be like, get enough sleep, be grateful, do the hard work. Like there's all these layers to it as well. But I mean, truly, I'm just like so, so incredibly grateful for the journey, everyone who has gotten me to this point, every moment that I've been able to learn and soak up experience and knowledge and then turn it into the career that I've always dreamed of.
That's so beautiful. I wish I could come over there and watch you. And because now, I mean, at the time of filming, we were just saying before, you've been asked to go on for William Shakespeare. What was that? Like, I mean, you said that you started with learning that. What was that process kind of like? You said it was really fast.
It was so incredibly fast. I was just kind of like, okay, well, I found out that I was going to be starting to learn that probably about 3 days before I entered the room. So I was like, okay, we have to learn the entire script right now. So I dove straight into it and I learned the show with the resident director, well, the associate director and an associate choreographer and the dance captains. And yeah, it was wild. But I mean, this show is so fun and the material is just so delicious to sing. The script is witty and funny and you can't help but have a great time. And the role, it probably is my favorite role I've ever played. It's just like when something just feels so right, it's got pop elements, it's comedic, I get to dance, you know what I mean? It really is a really, really special role to be able to understudy. And so it is wild to me when I'm just like, oh yeah, tonight I'm just going to lead a Broadway show.
Sure. Amazing. Well, I won't keep you for much longer because you've got to go get ready. But I love asking this at the end of each episode for anyone that comes on. And basically it is, if you had to give some advice to yourself when you were starting your career, what would that be?
Wow. You've stumped me.
Because a lot of people that listen in are, as you think, you can chat. A lot of people that are listening in, people that are just starting out in the industry, or maybe they're even still in full time, or there's people that are listening in that need that extra little bit of boost or kind of lost the faith within the arts as well. So any advice you can give on that or to yourself at that time when you were there?
I think like embracing individuality is something that like we're told to like shun away from for some reason. Like when we're training, everyone kind of tries to make us be the one thing. And I think just embracing who you are and what your strengths are and what you have to offer to something is the best thing that we could possibly try to listen to. And I definitely tried to be true to myself and what I wanted to do and what I loved and my skill set throughout my career. But I think we always doubt that, and we doubt that that's going to be the recipe to success, or even just that that's the thing that people are going to love about us. And so I think that's probably the one thing that I would tell myself to embrace more, just to be like, well, this is you and no one else is the same as you. And so your journey is different to everyone else's journey. And so just to be proud of that and to really be proud of what you have to offer.
Wonderful. That's fantastic. I couldn't agree more.
Oh, well, that's good.
No, it's awesome. And I'm really just loved chatting with you. I haven't been able to catch up for a while, and watching all your success, and it just reminds me of when we were working together, and hopefully in the near future that can happen again soon. Who knows?
Absolutely. And I'm so proud of you and everything that you're doing as well.
Oh, thank you, darling. Well, it's been awesome having you on, and maybe we'll see you again on here soon. But have a fantastic show. And
thank you.
The dive community is sending our love to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you all for being here on the Dive Podcast and for listening in to another episode. If you feel like this episode resonated with you and maybe someone that you know, share it with a friend and share the love. As always, you can head to our website at www.thedive.com.au, which will just help you implement the strategies and topics that we talk about on the show. We have a blog post that I write a post every single week, really just detailing how you can start to implement the strategies and the topics that we talk about in the show. As always, if you have any questions for me or Daniel or anyone of our guests that have been on the show, you can email us at info@thedive.com.au. It's awesome having you here. Thank you for your support, and I'll see you on the next one.